Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In this segment of Paul's letter, he is blunt with his audience. Among their many failures, they had corrupted the Lord's Supper, if you can imagine that, of all things. And he is not happy about it. And he says that in verse 17. I do not praise you. In fact, he says your gatherings are doing more harm than good. In verse 20, they were observing the Lord's Supper, but his comment about that is, it isn't the Lord's Supper at all. Whatever you are doing, it is not what Jesus had in mind. And he adds, you despise, in verse 22, the church of God and shame those who have nothing. Instead of bringing together their family, their behavior actually tore them apart. So it is in this setting that we find perhaps the most memorable, the most often read passage before the Lord's Supper. None of you were shocked when I referred you to 1 Corinthians 11 and thought to yourselves, I wonder why he's going there. I've been a Christian for 5 decades. And I don't know if I could even begin to recall how many times at this moment, somebody stood up and talked about 1 Corinthians 11. And it makes sense. Because to address their corruption, one of the things that Paul will do is he will bring them back to the purpose of the memorial and what this is all supposed to be about. And so it is a natural place to go, isn't it? To understand what it all means. And so this morning, as we prepare to partake, I want to invite you back to this familiar territory and think with me about 4 different directions that the memorial is designed to take the mind. So I pick up in verse 23 as Paul begins his correction. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so one of the things the meal is designed to do is to take us back to the moment when Jesus instituted the memorial and talked about the bread that he broke and how it symbolized his body that soon would hang on the cross and the cup which symbolized the blood of Jesus, the blood for the covenant he inaugurated that would fall from the cross as he was killed, and then emphasizes, remember, right? Do this in remembrance of me. Thus the words inscribed on the front of so many Lord's tables all over the country. It's all designed to help us remember what happened in the past. The meal, the element, its elements all take us back to the cross and his body hanging there and his blood being shed, him dying for our sins. It is odd, but there is this sense in which as disciples continue forward with their lives living for Jesus, they always do so with an eye backward. Back to the cross, as it defines the rest of the journey. And so, week by week, we gather. And the meal takes us back. But not just back. Verse 26 goes on to say, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so now the mind looks forward. He said the sharing of the meal is a proclamation. We say again and again and again, Jesus died every week with this meal. Jesus died to give us life. And every generation of disciple for all time shares that meal begun on that fateful night in the upper room. I think George Rawson captures it perfectly in the last verse of the hymn that we just sang. I love that last verse. Have you ever pondered what he says there? "And thus that dark betrayal night," there's where it started, "with the last advent," there's where it ends, "we unite by one bright chain a loving right until he comes." What did we do this morning? We will be another link in the chain that began on the night of his betrayal, that dark, awful night. And from that night, every week, week by week, disciples participate, adding a link in the chain. Until when? Until he comes. And so there is an anticipation that attaches to what we do right now. We're sharing this rite that continues until he comes. And so the meal takes us back and it nudges us to look forward. But we're not done, because Paul will go on. It urges us to look within. Pick up with me in verse 27. "Therefore, everyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in so doing, he's to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." And so although we do this week by week, every week, proclaiming the same message, it never becomes merely rehearsing a ritual. God has never delighted in worship that was just going through the motions. How could the Lord's Supper ever be that to us? The meal, the remembering, the anticipation all serve to stir the heart. How could it ever be that we would just sort of gather and go through the motions only by willful neglect, brothers and sisters? And so Paul urges his audience, examine yourself. When you partake, look within and consider your hearts, and so should we right now. What spirit do I bring to the moment? Because that matters to God. And he knows. But I don't think we just look within. I think the whole thrust of this text emphasizes the need to look without as well. Remember that we do this together. We don't take our little portion and go off in a corner by ourselves to remember. We don't partake alone. We come together. We sit together. We partake together, as those who share together in the blessing that Christ brought. I mention that because that evidently is a significant element of the problem at Corinth. That is his complaint as he begins, "You despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing." And to bookend that on the back end of his instruction here, what does he say? "Wait for each other." I think it is one of the things that we do every week that brings us together. The meal is a reminder that all of us share the most important thing, salvation in Christ because of the cross. I don't think it should be possible to gather as family and do this and sit here and harbor bitterness in heart toward a brother. If we're doing that, we're missing the point. That what brings us together is far greater than what threatens to pull us apart. So, we share these emblems and look back and anticipate and consider self and one another. It is the design of the amazing meal. And so, let us partake together.